doing? Zach Kowski.
Adam Henry.
Bobby Jones.
Jeff Jarrett.
Joe Siddle.
TJ Laramie. And
Holy Mackinac, you're listening to Wind City Sports.
Yo, what's good? My name is Rich Moore, and thank you for downloading or streaming this episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast. Wind City Sports is Windsor's only local sports radio show and podcast, live every Thursday on CJM 99.1 FM in Windsor and Detroit. You can hear every episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast, wherever you're listening to it right now, obviously, but we are on Spotify, iTunes, and wherever podcasts are found, and on the brand new Border City Podcast Network. We also have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We'll talk all about that at the end of the show, as we normally do. But today is Thursday, May 2nd, 2019, and it's episode 143 of Wind City Sports. We have a pretty jam-packed episode this week on Wind City Sports, as we'll get into in a few moments. But this week, on our feature interview segment of the show, we're talking to a former Windsor Spitfire and a former Boston Bruin. He now coaches the London Lakers, which are part of the GMHL, where our Windsor Aces actually play. This guy had a stellar OHL career and then quite the pro career following that. He went pretty much everywhere and played for many different leagues, many different teams. It's Jeff Zur. So obviously we talk about his time living in Windsor and playing for our Spitfires, talk about his whole hockey career and how he got into coaching and how much he actually enjoys it. He's got a pretty good story. He became a father at a young age at, I think, 17, still in the OHL playing for the Spits at that time. He's been a father his whole life and a hockey player his whole life. So it's pretty pretty cool little conversation with Jeff Zur. Following the interview, we're going to hear our combat corner with Cedric Benn, getting caught up with him after his boxers went out to Vancouver last weekend for the national championships. Give a shout out to our boy Kyle Prepperlich from MTC. And we'll also have a little bit of upcoming events. Not going to break down a lot of sports news. This might be a long one. So I think it's time. Without further ado, we'll just transition right into that interview with Jeff Zur. So here we go.
On the phone right now is a former Windsor Spitfire and a Boston Bruin, former Boston Bruin, owner of 54 Hockey Inc., head coach and GM of the London Lakers, former pro hockey player Jeff Zur. Welcome to Wind City Sports.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me.
So one thing I got to start off with and kind of clear up is, were you born in Windsor? I have some conflicting research. Some say Windsor, others say Woodstock. It could be maybe an easy mix-up with the W's, but where are you from?
I was born in Woodstock, and I grew up in Tavistock.
Okay, and I did see that one, too, and I couldn't even really pronounce it. I was like, I'm not sure which is right here.
Yeah, no. Born definitely in Woodstock and grew up in Tavistock.
So tell me a little bit about growing up. Like, what was life like as a kid for you?
I grew up in a small town of about 1,200 people. Obviously went to public school there. Played my minor hockey in Tavi, which was double C rated because of the small town. Had chances to go AAA, obviously, but I just stayed within our own little town.
Yeah, I mean, there's hockey everywhere, especially in Canada.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, it's our little town, big feeling. You know, you play all the local baseball and soccer and hockey and that kind of thing, and just do your own thing.
Yeah, for sure. Were you always like a hockey guy, or did you gravitate to other sports, or was hockey always your thing?
I played baseball growing up until like Pee Wee or Bantam in the hockey world, and then I made the switch. I just played hockey year round and kind of put the softball career on the back burner.
Yeah, I just kind of focused on hockey a little more.
Yeah. Like, obviously, we had our own town golf course and stuff, and, you know, I golfed, and I had a tennis membership and played some tennis, and I was always pretty active, had my hands in on everything.
Yeah, I'm sure you were playing sports, like you said, golf and baseball and stuff like that. I just didn't know if maybe you had another competitive background or aspect in a different sport or something like that?
No, that's I pretty much just tried or did everything, but hockey was my go-to for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. And obviously we know you here in Windsor from your time with the Spitfires. How was that junior experience like for you?
Junior was all right. You get your eyes opened, obviously, your first year when you're like 16 years old and moving away and going to a new school. And, you know, your hockey teammates become the first month or so like your only friends away while you're away. And, you know, you really bond. And, you know, the hockey is intense and it's good. And that's kind of takes you a little bit of time to realize, you know, that you are a talent and, you know, this could be a career for you if you hunker down.
Yeah, for real. Well, you guys are basically kids, you know, at that time anyway.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Rideau had said too, kind of alluding to your experience there. Was it very memorable for you? Like, do you remember that time back then? Or is it like, it was quite a while ago. Like I was telling him, I barely remember high school, which was 10 years ago. So, you know, going back 15, does that time stick out to you? Or?
Yeah, for sure. Like it, you know, there's so many talented players in the league at the time. And, you know, then that I got to play with as well. And, my first year or second year, junior, I became a dad too.
Oh, wow.
So like I had a lot going on. I was, you know, a teenage kid myself and, became a dad back home and, so doing that and then, you know, you start doing your, going out for interviews and all that kind of stuff with NHL teams because you're being scouted and, you know, still trying to be a kid yourself and you're doing the school thing and, you know, it was pretty intense.
Oh, for sure. Like I said, just being young like that, it's a big aspect to it. And again, you're pretty unique out of all of the hockey players that I've talked to, especially about their time in junior. I think you're the first one that was a father at that time. When you were trying to figure out what year that was, I was pulling up your hockey DB, but it doesn't have anything about that on there, obviously. I thought you were kind of alluding to some teams that you had played with at that time.
Yeah, no. It's, I just turned 17 when I became a dad, so I don't know. It was
probably your second year then, yeah.
My first year, actually, I think.
Oh, wow.
Right near the end of my first year, it's my oldest boy, he's a February birthday, so.
Yeah, early birthday. But yeah. Just like even you had kind of touched upon it back then, too, you played with a lot of great players, and I'm sure you made some connections. Like you said, you played with all these guys like DJ Smith, Matt Cook, Tim Connolly, Mike Roop, just to name a few.
Yeah, no, it's every year, you know, when you hear it as you turn into pro too, you know, we're all teammates, but there's only like a couple guys off every team that you'll continue to stay in touch with, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I lots of characters, that's for sure. but some really good players as well, and you know, if you break down all the years, there's different guys and stuff that stand out for different reasons. But yeah, there were some really good junior players that I played with, and some good junior guys that went on and turned pro, and some guys that you know, kind of fell off the face of the earth, as they say.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting characters, like you said, man. That's why I always like to go back and find these guys, catch up with them, and stuff like that. But what do you remember about playing in the barn in the 90s?
The barn there was always loud, intense, and, you know, in-your-face kind of action. I always liked playing there. Obviously, you know, being a taller, a bigger guy, and having the small little barn, you know, you didn't get lost on like Olympic size or big ice playing. And you know, and the fans that we did have really stuck together and supported. And you know, when we played like crap, then they were the first ones to be yelling and letting us know that we were playing like crap, you know.
That's what most people allude to, is the atmosphere and the crowd and stuff of the barn back in the day.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like I said, there's, you know, the odd fight video, and a couple of them go back to those times, and you know, where there's we get into a bit of a dust up or a line brawl, and you got fans hanging over the short glass there, and we're throwing their 2 cents in, and you know, mucking it up as well.
Good times, man. I miss it. So you spent 3 seasons with the Spits before moving out to Erie, finished off your career, at least in the NHL, or sorry, with the OHL in Sarnia. And then following that, you had a run in the NHL and AHL, played 4 games with the Bruins, and the rest was spent in Providence. You know, you're probably like 18, 19 years old maybe at the time. I'm sure that was really cool for you.
Yeah, I know. I had two and a half years in Windsor, and then went down to Erie, and had a good little run there for just about a year, and then I got traded again, deadline, to Sarnia at 20, and then graduated in the O, and I played 1 game in Providence, and after that I got called up and played the next 4 games up in Boston, and then, you know, as a 20, 21-year-old rookie, I obviously had to play, so I was back down in Providence, and blew my knee out again just by Christmas break, my first year, my rookie year of pro, and I ended up having surgery in February of that year, and that pretty much took me out of the next 2 years until I played again. Just having reconstructive knee surgery, and then, you know, pretty much just became a career semi-pro player after that. Never really had a shot back at an NHL camp or anything.
Was there a lot of battles with injuries and stuff?
Well, I had about 12 surgeries in my 10 years, yeah.
So I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, no, I had like 4 knee surgeries and sports hernia and broken hands and blah, blah, blah. You know, all the stuff that goes with it.
Yeah. And, you know, although you weren't with the Bruins, you know, playing on their squad very long, that was one hell of a team that you were around. You know, Joe Thornton, Danson Carter, Ray Bourque, just to name a few. That had to have been really cool for you. What was it like being around them?
Yeah, no, Thornton I knew, obviously, from junior and that kind of thing. And, you know, Nick Boyton and Jonathan Gerard. They had some real good young talent in the time I was there. Plus, you know, you have your legends, Dave Anderchuk and Ray Bourque and Jason Allison. And, you know, it's it was a good mix of everything. And, you know, when you're skating, you're practicing, you're playing with those guys, it's, you know, the realization clicks in that, you know, I am pretty talented and I just got to keep grinding and improving and gaining that experience to be able to play.
Yeah, I mean, all those experiences add up, you know.
Yeah, no, it's something that I definitely won't ever forget, and I'm happy, and you know, I tell stories when asked.
Yeah, absolutely. What about McSorley? Did you cross paths with him at all?
I don't think he was around when I was there. Paul Coffey was there 1 year, Martin Lapointe, but I can't I think McSorley came after I was out of there.
Yeah, that's what I figured. He'd rather trade before or after or something.
Yeah.
Trying to pinpoint some characters that they had, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, there definitely was some guys, both, you know, minor league and up. But, yeah, that's about it.
What about being in Boston? Was that cool for you, like, just being around in the city?
Yeah, so I signed in the summer. Summer after my junior career, and I ended up spending about 4 weeks there before camp because I had knee surgery in the summer. And I got to, I trained with Mike Boyle in Boylston training facility, and Paul Harvey, a former Erie Otter teammate of mine, he's from Southie in Boston. South Boston, and you know, it was nice to have somebody that I knew there. But yeah, I got to live in Boston for a summer there and got to know, you know, some of the restaurants and the surroundings and all that kind of stuff. And you know, and then you train and skate and that, you know, all that stuff with like Thornton and some of the guys that are there already before camp. And, so you kind of get familiar a little bit before, and then, yeah, it was hammer time.
That's cool, man. Again, just being a, you know, a kid from a small town in Canada, and next thing you know, you're playing for the Bruins in a big city like Boston in the States, right?
Yeah, no, it was surreal, but, you know, it's, once you get there, it sounds weird, but once you get there and you're playing at a higher level, the game certainly gets a lot easier because majority of the guys are the same skill, if not better than you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Game gets easier.
Yeah, for most people.
Yeah.
And, you know, you were actually drafted by the Islanders, assumingly just went unsigned and then signed with Boston. What do you remember about being recruited by them? Like you had mentioned before, when you're a junior, you're a kid, you're doing all those interviews and stuff. What do you remember about Boston kind of scouting you, I guess?
Well, Boston, I never really heard from Boston at all until I became a free agent. New York obviously was, I flew there a couple times, did, you know, spent 2 or 3 days with them doing different tests and interviews and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I had a good time in New York, and I did a couple training camps with them, you know, while I played in Windsor and in junior when I was their property. And just never worked out for a contract with them, and you know, it kind of worked out for the best because I did get in with Boston you know, my first year out of junior.
Yeah, sometimes just right place, right time, right?
Yeah, majority of that.
So you had kind of alluded to it yourself earlier, you know, post your NHL time there, I spent 3 seasons to start with 6 different teams in the ECHL. What was it like playing hockey out there?
Just playing, being able to play, you know, semi-pro is, you know, a privilege. A lot of great cities and coaches I had at different levels. Obviously, you know, if you have the chance to play at a higher level, you want to, but playing playing those leagues, you know, I think the game's changed like tremendously. You know, back when I played, I know that there was, you know, there was a lot of good players that chose to play in the East Coast Hockey League rather than, you know, getting their shot up at the American League. Not saying that they knew that they wouldn't be like ever having a chance NHL, but it made more like financial sense for them, for a lot of those guys to just stay in the East Coast League. You know, and then you have like I said, the game's changed so much. It was a lot tougher, and, you know, more of a grind and more fights. And just, you know, the minor leagues used to be a tougher league, and now it's, you know, all the leagues are kind of more comparable now because it's all, you know, speed and skill.
Yeah, I feel it for sure. Did you, like, enjoy playing there? Or were you just trying to, you know, play as long as you could, even if it was semi-pro? Or?
No, I enjoyed playing. Obviously, I was playing to try and get, you know, a chance to get a shot back up at a higher level. Yeah. And, you know, as I started getting older and into my late 20s, you know, the shift kind of went to see where I could play pro, but closer to home, so I could be closer to my kids. And that's how, you know, I ended up wrapping up my pro career, kind of playing in the IHL and the UHL for, like, Port Huron and Flint, because it was a lot closer to being at home.
Yeah, that's what I was actually going to ask, because I see you spent some time in Michigan there. Pretty much combining two questions was, you know, why were you out there, and when were you ready to hang up the skates? I guess, like you said, it was just a family aspect kind of thing too, right?
Yeah. I had, you know, we had real good teams on both, you know, Flint and Port Huron. And I had, you know, at that point played with a lot of, or I had a lot of buddies that I played with over the years. And you kind of start bringing each other to, you know, wherever you're going, you know, I want to come play with you and blah, blah, that kind of thing, right? So we had half-decent teams and a lot of fun. And, you know, it kind of helped as you transition out of hockey, you know, being closer to home where you can kind of spend more time with family. And you could always, you know, take off and go home for a day or two and be able to be back, you know, without having to book flights and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's just perfect location, and connections are everything. Like you were saying, you and your buddies just kind of recruiting each other. That might actually allude to our next part here. Obviously, you found a new light in coaching. How did that journey kind of start? Was it like were you coaching during when you were playing, or was it strictly like right after you finished playing?
No, well, I coached, like my boys teams for a couple of years after being done, and, never really got into the junior part or junior coaching, until later on, but, you know, coaching and being around my kids' hockey for the first little bit. And then as they got older, I had an offer to coach London, and that happened in like a spring, like April time. And then come August of that same year, I had that ownership at the time suggest that they were going to sell the team and stuff, and Julie, my partner, and I, we just said that we stepped up and took over ownership, and it's kind of been our baby for the last 4 years, and we're heading into our fifth year, and you know, we're having a good recruitment class so far this year, and looking to bounce back and get out of the basement in our division, and hopefully have a stronger team this year.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That's what it's all about. Rideout had actually alluded to yourself when we were chatting just the other day, talking about the league. It's the GMCHL or whatever there. He said, you're the only coach in that league that is there for the right reasons, is what he said. Are you really, like, you know, just loving the game right now and loving what you're doing?
Yeah, no, it's our passion and purpose is still there in hockey, and, you know, our Lakers organization and program, we really strive on the development of players. And then through their success, they earn themselves, you know, a scholarship or a chance at pro. It's not, you know, I obviously we want to win, but our last 2 years, so two out of our 4 years, we've been last place in the league. But I've had a lot of kids from those last place teams get chances and opportunities for, you know, some partial scholarships and some semi-pro contracts and what, because a lot of these teams, they know, and they know the character that we have, and they know our program and, you know, what we strive for. And a lot of these teams and schools, you know, they reach out to us and use our connections because they know what type of kids they're getting, that, you know, we kind of put them through the ringer and develop them, you know, the right way and take it from there. You know, it's, there is some teams, and it doesn't matter what league you go to, there are teams that, you know, will push the envelope and go for win only, and they don't really care, you know, how to win or what they're doing to win, and you know, without saying that they're cheating or they're going, you know, behind the back or whatever. But you know, winning isn't everything, especially when you're dealing with, you know, teenage kids that are trying to develop and want to get their eyes open to what they could maybe reach if they work their ass off, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, nothing's guaranteed, right? And you got to understand you got to understand why you're doing this groundwork, you know, instead of just doing it.
Yeah.
And when you're setting these guys up with those contracts, are they a lot of like overseas play, or is it like East Coast stuff or everywhere?
We've had a couple kids get East Coast tryouts. We have advanced a goalie to the East Coast League over here in North America. A couple kids to Southern Pro Hockey League. A whack of kids to the Federal Hockey League. And then majority overseas, yeah. Our top players are the kids that, you know, really lit it up, have better luck starting their semi-pro in Europe. Because a lot of, like, the East Coast teams and Southern Pro, they're on NHL, you know, contract or lease as well with partnerships. So a lot of those teams have contracted players playing for them. So to be able to sneak into the crack of them is really hard. And, you know, if they're going to sign a free agent or somebody that's not on contract, they usually want to see, you know, a kid with a couple years of pro experience or whatnot. So it's tough for junior kids to come out of, you know, junior B or junior A or whatever and jump right into one of those levels. But yeah, if you can get them overseas for a couple of years, you know, different levels over there, sometimes they start out in Division 3 or 4, and if they're lighting it up, they'll be in Division 2, you know, during the same year or the following year. And it's just like anywhere else. It's kind of like the stepping stones. You could start in Sweden, go to Germany, and end up in Switzerland by the time your season is done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity, and it seems like a lot of guys do end up out there. So that's why I was just asking if you had any connections, whether there or where else.
Oh yeah, so I have. It's funny because, like, hockey never sleeps. Hockey never stops, you know. I still get emails from different schools and different pro teams. Even right now, and we've been done for a month. You know, it's all about, hockey's a small world, and it's about your connections and who knows who and you know, who's active. And, you know, you get a couple kids that you advance and they really are good people and good players, and other teams take notice of that, and then they start, you know, doing a little bit of research, and then they see who's involved and who's in the program, and then they, you know, it's just like a growing snowball. It kind of just takes form on its own just by you know, the hard work you put in is the hard work you get out of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about. It's using those connections, just like I said, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about 54 Hockey Incorporated. What kind of stuff do you offer? How can you be found? All that stuff.
Well, we have our website's 54hockey.com. Really, it's a company that we started just so we could have our hands in on everything. You know, we run in the past different PA camps and we've done some semi-pro camps, like free agent camps, where we'll hold a 2-3 day training camp, just so you know, some guys in the southern states at different levels of pro kind of get a better view of, you know, some kids up in this area, you know, trying to get or make a name for themselves. And part of our helping kids out is, you know, there could be somebody that just needs a little bit of a push or a name or a backing to help get them, you know, a different look or an invite to camp and that kind of stuff, almost like an advisor role, life coach role, you know, or just somebody to talk to, you know, about off-ice stuff or questions on ice. We kind of do a little bit of all that, and, you know, it kind of rolls into our program with London, and obviously there's room to expand and to keep growing the game and our business, and that's something that, you know, every day we try to strive to get better.
Awesome, man. Great stuff. Thank you for taking the time to do this, man. I really appreciate you. It was good for the city of Windsor to catch up with you.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thanks for having me, and anytime.
All right, and there we have it, Zerzy. Jeff Zer on the Wind City Sports Podcast. You can check him out on Twitter at Zerpi, or Zerpi, I'm not sure. Z-E-H-R-P-I-E on Twitter. Always good to catch up with our former Spitfires. You know I like doing that, and of course we're going to have some more coming up in the near future. But there's a lot going on in Windsor still this weekend. We have actually a lot of events coming up, and we have the Windsor Clippers playing. We have the Rose City International Tournament. We're going to hear from Josh DeSantis in a few minutes. But first, let's get caught up with Coach Cedric Benn from Windsor Amateur Boxing Club. He had two individuals, a brother and sister combo, actually go out to Vancouver last weekend for the National Championships in Boxing. Boxing Canada hosted this event, and I think they did pretty well. So let's send it over to Cedric Benn for the Combat Corner Week 2. Here we go.
All right, we're back on our second edition, the Combat Corner with Cedric Benn. Obviously, we talked to you last week just before you guys took off. Actually, it aired the day you guys arrived in Vancouver. Yeah. Tell us about what happened out there, man.
Good, man. It was good. It was a successful trip. Marie, she only had one competitor in her weight class from Nova Scotia. So she had her match on Friday afternoon. It was a tough one that she came through, won a unanimous victory. So that was her very first national championship. So she was excited for that. Her older brother by 1 year, Kioma, he had three tough matches. He had first match was against a kid from Alberta, tough kid from Alberta, but Kioma's skill level was just that much higher, so the referee came and stopped it in the third round. In the second match, he fought another tough kid from Alberta. Same thing, this kid went the distance, but, you know, he paid the price for going distance. And in the third match, his third match was the toughest one. He fought a kid from Ontario who he had a close split decision win at the provincial championships. And this was a rematch on the big stage at the Nationals.
Oh, shit.
And Kioma came through. I was actually kind of surprised. They had it as a split decision. I thought it was unanimous. But I'm pretty honest. You know, I don't, you know, if it's a close match, I don't, you know, I'll be honest and say it was a split decision. I thought it was. I really thought it was pretty clear for Kioma. So he had three tough victories. Unfortunately, for some reason, they stopped giving out the award for like best male boxer and best female boxer in the tournament. I'm not sure why. They had awards for best fights, but not best boxer. They, you know, for his weight class, they gave it to some kid that lost. But just because it was a good match, they gave it to him. But anyway, we're still happy about the two wins. And that, you know, the streak continues of having a national champion in our gym every year since 1993.
So we're looking at that's as old as me, man. We're looking at 26 years.
26, man. It's crazy. Like I said, every time I mention that, I always, you know, I feel like I'm jinxing it. I feel the pressure about keeping it up. But, yeah, man, it's cool. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, so far so good. And obviously you guys were successful. So it's awesome, dude. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
So what's next? Are they training, or are they getting ready for something else, or is it?
Right now, we usually give them a week off. You know, even more of a mental break from training. And even when they come back, them physical, just more,
absolutely,
more technique stuff. Easing back into it. That's the one thing about boxing. There's not really a specific season for it, like other sports. You know, basketball, hockey, baseball. You have a specific start date and end date for your season. In boxing, you know, you can get calls all the time for a match. So it's really about, so we really use the nationals as like, you know, the end of the year. So we usually, you know, take a week off, like completely away from the gym. And then even that week back, it's just more technical stuff. And then we slowly get back into it. Hunter Lee, three-time national champion, will actually be competing this weekend, in Amherstburg. May 4th, yeah, that's the Saturday, right?
Yeah.
This Saturday is in Amherstburg. I should have the address on me. It's at the Legion. No, sorry, my bad, not the Legion. At the Libro Arena.
Yeah.
That's
the big hockey arena and baseball field out in Amherstburg.
Yes, exactly. That's where it is. So you guys come out and support your local boxing. It's probably going to be about 10 to 12 matches. Put on by Joe LeBlanc, the Fighting Island Boxing Club. Some very good boxers out there. It's going to be very exciting. Have some fun, have some drinks.
Right on. What can go wrong?
Yeah.
All right, well.
Before I forget, I want to say a big shout-out to Kyle Prepelik.
Hey, man, that's where I was going. That's what I was just about to say. Yeah, so I'm sure you heard about that. We have to give him a big shout out. I got the article up here right now. He's replacing. I'm not even going to attempt to the guy's name that he's replacing, but he's fighting a UFC veteran in Nordin Taleb, and apparently he signed a 4-year contract or a 4-fight contract. Sorry.
That's awesome, man. I'm really happy for him, man. He deserves it. He really deserves it. He's been working hard all these years. I've been watching him, you know, coming up, winning fights, and doing his thing, working hard. Him and Hunter do some, you know, a lot of sparring together.
Yep.
Yeah, man, I'm really happy for him, man. He really deserves it.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy. He's had him on the show. He's very humble, so he definitely deserves it.
For real.
Awesome,
and
man.
What is that show? When is that debut?
Actually, that's this Saturday, too. So that's this Saturday night.
We'll
see Fight Night 151 in Ottawa, making his debut in Canada for the UFC. And then, obviously, from there, we're looking at potentially 3 more fights.
That is awesome, man.
Yeah,
that is awesome.
Too cool. All right, well, that's this week, and we'll hear from you soon.
Okay, man. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right, and there we have it. Back once again is Cedric Benn on the show. He's been on many times. Listen to episode 100 with Cedric Benn, and follow him on Twitter and Instagram, and follow him on Facebook by searching up Cedric Sports. And now we're going to quickly break down some sports news and talk about some upcoming events for the weekend. The Windsor Clippers lacrosse team is coming off a big 10-7 win over the Hamilton Bengals. Clippers are now 3-1-1 in regular season action. Tonight, they are actually playing at Forest Glade Arena at 8 p.m. That's tonight, May 2nd, as they host Point Edward. And they actually have a stretch of home games coming up. Actually, no, I'm just looking at their home schedule. But they do have another home game on Saturday, May 4th, as they host Spartan at the Forest Glade Arena, again at 7 p.m. The Windsor Lancers baseball team has finally starting to see the losing side of things, although I don't want them to. They've just been killing it. They've been on a streak, and they lost their first game in probably I think all of the spring season. They lost one of their two games on Saturday in a doubleheader against Michigan State, but bounced back in the afternoon to pick up the win again. This Saturday, they're going to be traveling to Bowling Green for a two-day series, three games in 2 days. Saturday night, they will be playing Bowling Green at their facility. Doesn't actually say where, but three games, on one on Saturday and two on Sunday. Man, we have such a great baseball team playing against these high-level American teams, Michigan State, Bowling Green. I think there's like three or four Michigan teams in there, but it just shows that the baseball system here is no joke, and that Frank Genet and all the boys down at the University of Windsor are killing it. They play at the Libro Center, a field right behind the arena, in which the boxing event is going down this Saturday, as heard on the Combat Corner. So we have Windsor Clippers coming up this tonight, actually, and on Saturday. We have the Rose City International Tournament. The baseball team is on the road, and we have Kyle Preperlik fighting in the UFC on Saturday night. So it's going to be a busy weekend here in Windsor, and hope everyone has a good one, because that is all this week on Wind City Sports. My name is Drake DeMore, and I'm here every Thursday with a new episode that drops on iTunes and Spotify and wherever podcasts are found. You can hear Wind City Sports Radio on CJAM 99.1 FM in Windsor and Detroit on Thursdays at 12:30 with brand new live show. You hear part of the interviews, some music, and some sports news. You can check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. So give us a like, follow, subscribe, whatever it may be. You can simply just search Wind City Sports. Wind City is all one word. Or most of our handles, if applicable, are at WindCity_sports. You can also follow me, Drake DeMore, on Instagram and Twitter at Drake DeMore. For whatever reason that would interest you, but hey, we all need some new followers. So please give me a follow, the Wind City Sports most importantly, and give us a review if you use iTunes, Spotify, whatever it may be. And we'll be back here with a brand new episode next week. So until then, smell you later.